Virtually Immortal, a podcast about game preservation. And today I'm going to talk about the tragedy of light gun games. House of the Dead is one of the most iconic franchises in video game history. Time Crisis is one of my personal favorite series to play every chance I get to visit an arcade. Ghost Squad for the Wii seemed like a light gun shooter that everyone I knew had, which is odd. It's not exactly the most mainstream genre, especially at the time. One of the first video games I played was Duck Hunt on the NES. More than any console game of the time, light gun games were able to bring the arcade to the home because they used the same CRT display tech. The gun controller had a little camera that gave perfect one-to-one accuracy. What made tube TVs optimal for light gun gaming was their high refresh rate and low latency. The controller snapshots what the camera sees, and this is fast enough for perfect response time and accuracy. While light gun games had popularity on console, they fizzled out pretty quickly after flat panel LCD screens replaced the CRT as the standard home TV. Light gun games can't really be played on LCD screens because the gun controller would not receive the necessary data from the screen. It seemed as if light gun games were leaving for good. They'd be regulated to the old tech and struggle to justify their existence any longer. That is until 2006, when the Nintendo Wii would give the genre an unexpected renaissance, sometimes to the chagrin to those who wanted to see things go forward and leave light guns behind. The way the Wii emulated light guns of old was by using infrared emitters in the sensor bar that was placed above or below the TV. The infrared camera at the end of the Wii remote was then calibrated in the console settings. While this is not a perfect recreation of the light gun experience, it's close enough in my opinion, and the games feel great to this day, especially on low latency monitors. While the amount of light gun games that released for the Wii outstripped the amount released for its similarly capable successor, the Wii U, the Wii U is a console that has an HDMI out that can connect to modern displays and play every previous game released on the Wii. It's also able to use the same light gun functionality the Wii Remote has built in. But with the release of the Nintendo Switch, Nintendo let the past die. The sensor bar and IR camera duo that let the Wii and Wii U have responsive and reasonably accurate light gun gameplay is gone without a trace, and without a similar function to replace it. Wii games remain tethered to the Wii U as their most recent way to be played with the Wii pointer control intact, in an official capacity, of course. I would like to cover the world of light gun emulation someday, but that goes beyond the scope of this episode. The Nintendo Switch's gyro controls can augment a player's ability to aim in tandem with the dual analog controls for various shooting games like Warframe and Splatoon 2. But this isn't the same as what was possible with the Wii pointer or the CRT light gun shooters of old. It's not as accurate, not as responsive, and it's no mystery as to why we haven't seen light gun shooters released on the system. There's an anomaly in the PS Move that was released for the PS3. The controller swapped the sensor bar and IR camera arrangement that the Wii had and provided the PS3 with the ability to support light gun shooters. Dead Space Ignition was a standout example of this, the former Wii game now similarly playable through an HDMI-capable display. However, the PS Move didn't catch on with consumers as well as the Wii did, and there were precious few light gun games released for the platform. And unfortunately, they are markedly more expensive to set up and play, without very accessible ways to emulate them either. At least not yet. The PS Move got another small bump in usage when the PSVR headset released for the PS4, and with it, a few games that utilized the PS Move in tandem. I'm not convinced that this technology has died off quite yet, but it's far from reaching its potential as either a VR controller or as a light gun game interface. I can only hope that these controllers can find some use in emulating the classic light guns of old on newer, more accessible hardware. Alright, before I sign off, I'm going to reveal this week's chosen immortal, being Sin and Punishment, Star Successor. The sequel to the N64 Japan-only classic from Treasure will never get the amount of attention it deserves. So here we are. I'm afraid there isn't much to discuss, however. It's a $15 to $20 Wii game developed by the legendary studio Treasure and is both mind-numbingly beautiful and challenging without feeling unfair. The controls are tuned to absolute perfection, and best of all, you don't need to import this one like you did the original. Alright, that does it for this week's podcast. I hope y'all tune in next time where we'll learn how to become virtually immortal.